4. You are the salt of the earth. The so-called Sermon on the Mount is not the Gospel of Jesus. It does contain much helpful instruction, but it was Jesus' ordination charge to the 12 apostles. It was the Master's personal commission to those who were to go on preaching the gospel and aspiring to represent him in the world of men, even as he was so eloquently and perfectly representative of his Father. You are the salt of the earth, salt with a saving savor. But if this salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. In Jesus' time, salt was precious. It was even used for money. The modern word salary is derived from salt. Salt not only flavors food, but it is also a preservative. It makes other things more tasty, and thus it serves by being spent. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and be led to glorify your Father who is in heaven. While light dispels darkness, it can also be so blinding as to confuse and frustrate. We are admonished to let our light so shine that our fellows will be guided into new and godly paths of enhanced living. Our light should so shine as not to attract attention to self. Even one's vocation can be utilized as an effective reflector for the dissemination of this light of life. Strong characters are not derived from not doing wrong, but rather from actually doing right. Unselfishness is the badge of human greatness. The highest levels of self-realization are attained by worship and service. The happy and effective person is motivated, not by fear of wrongdoing, but by love of right doing. By their fruits you shall know them. Personality is basically changeless. That which changes, grows, is the moral character. The major error of modern religions is negativism. The tree which bears no fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Moral worth cannot be derived from mere repression, obeying the injunction "thou shalt not." Fear and shame are unworthy motivations for religious living. Religion is valid only when it reveals the fatherhood of God and enhances the brotherhood of men. An effective philosophy of living is formed by a combination of cosmic insight and the total of one's emotional reactions to the social and economic environment. Remember, while inherited urges cannot be fundamentally modified, emotional responses to such urges can be changed. Therefore, the moral nature can be modified, character can be improved. In the strong character, emotional responses are integrated and coordinated, and thus is produced a unified personality. Deficient unification weakens the moral nature and engenders unhappiness. Without a worthy goal, life becomes aimless and unprofitable, and much unhappiness results. Jesus' discourse at the ordination of the 12 constitutes a master philosophy of life. Jesus exhorted his followers to exercise experiential faith. He admonished them not to depend on mere intellectual assent, credulity, and established authority. Education should be a technique of learning, discovering the better methods of gratifying our natural and inherited urges. And happiness is the resulting total of these enhanced techniques of emotional satisfactions. Happiness is little dependent on environment, though pleasing surroundings may greatly contribute thereto. Every mortal really craves to be a complete person. To be perfect even as the Father in heaven is perfect. And such attainment is possible because in the last analysis the universe is truly fatherly.